This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and I'll play your requests too. And as usual, I come up with something as a starter item, get you talking. And Engineer Bob, we greatly thank all the wonderful links he gives me. It's thank you, Bob. It's wonderful. And he gave me one the other day. Actually, it's a little different than I expected. On the other hand, not at all. You know, we talk about how expensive it is to go to college. And, I mean, outrageously expensive these days, to say the least. It's a six-figure investment before you're through, no matter what. And while that is more recent than not, you know, give it 50 years ago and it, you know, cost you maybe for all 4 years, 10 grand. So I know everything else is cheaper, too. But regardless, what hasn't really changed that much is what these majors are worth. And the first thing I should say is that it's somewhat of a misthought to think that college is a trade school. That's only been in recent history. Traditionally, it was not meant for that at all. In fact, the great liberal arts institutions of America going back to the 1800s were for the wealthy, to give them a well-rounded background. They weren't thinking in terms of you'd go make a living with it. That's what trade and tech schools were about. But in the last 50 years or so, more than not, most people go to college because they think it's going to improve their income potential. And that's true, by the way, no matter what you major in. Overall, if you look at the statistics start to finish, college graduates earn more money than high school and GED only. Yeah. However, that's not necessarily specific by any means. Now, what's interesting to me is what continues to be dead bottom. And when I say that, I'm sure there are other majors that probably pay as little or even less, but not much in the way of statistics on that, because after all, you've got a, you know, an undergraduate degree in sociology. What are you going to do with it? All right, but looking at the majors where you actually are going to go out and get a job, I'll tell you what, when you're in college, and I don't mean in any way to cast aspersion about this, there's nothing more important than the teachers who guide us, and I get that. But at the same time, when you get to college, it's no secret that if you want the easiest majors, just go to the School of Education. By far, the easiest majors. All right, well, unfortunately, the lowest paying, too. In fact, mid-career, if you've majored in early childhood education, you might make $52,000 a year on average. Yeah, not much more for elementary education or even general education or special education. And, you know, obviously there are some exceptions to the rule, but by and large, the lowest, and there's like 10 different fields in this, secondary education even, so you're going to be making, you know, mid-career at this point well under 70 grand a year, which I know back in the day sounded like a fortune, but anymore doesn't sound like much at all. So whether it's early childhood or elementary or as I meant miscellaneous even or even secondary, yeah, I'll tell you what's kind of in line with that, and you'd expect it, social services. And why I say you'd expect it, if you're going into these fields, it almost behooves you to get some type of an advanced degree, a master's or a doctorate. Same thing, you know, if you're in health services and you've just got your bachelor's or nutrition sciences or things like that, you're not going to earn highest peak earning more than about 70 grand a year. And very true with psychology, too. What do you do with a bachelor's of psychology? The answer is you apply to law school. But other than that, obviously fine arts, liberal arts, these are all things that you're not going to make maybe 75 grand peak in 2026 dollars in peak of earning. Now, yeah, sociology not on the list because, you know, there just weren't that many majors probably to do it. But obviously performing arts. Yeah, there's a lot they just can't teach you, and you're not going to come out ahead by and large. I know when I was in college at the University of Miami, those who majored in anything like performing arts or broadcasting or radio, TV, all that kind of stuff, if they were girls, it prepared them for, you know, work as an Eastern Airlines stewardess. If they were guys, they worked in the record store. And, you know, those are broad generalizations, but they weren't all that far from true. Earth sciences, still low paying, general social sciences, and all that. So if you're planning to go to college, or you have children planning to go to college, yes, no longer do you have to major in, I don't want to go to Vietnam, like it was in the 60s for many males, and for what really kind of turned the tide to everybody's got to go to college. You know, before that, it was not really a thing. But the idea, if you are going to go now, it clearly is voluntary, but you might want to research exactly how much it's going to cost you to get that degree, and then what is your earning potential with it? And at that point, you might want to take up welding. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We'll kick it off today. Let me find the magic twanger. It's here somewhere. I know. I saw it last night. Brian with a Y in Miami with two I's. So, Brian, what's up tonight?
Hey, good evening to you, Raleigh. I don't know how you do it. You do old school radio like nobody else does, yet you sound so young all the while. So let's get radioactive. You were talking about Les Crane the other night with one of your charming callers, and I was astonished to read in the Wikipedia entry that the show was only on for 14 weeks. I must have watched half of them.
Oh, I know.
I was only, 9, 10 years old, but I was hooked on the show, and I was disappointed that neither you nor your caller mentioned to me what was the most memorable thing about the show. I mean, aside from Les Crane's personality and the guests he attracted, including quite famously Mr. Dillon.
The viewer phone calls, where are we going with this?
Well, the thing is, he had this special microphone. It was called a shotgun microphone.
Yeah, right.
It looked like a hunting rifle.
Right.
And the show was done, not quite in the round, but from the perspective of a viewer, it looked like it was in the round, one of those old stadium operating rooms, it almost looked like. And he would take the microphone and point it up to the audience as if he was shooting somebody as a sniper there in the crowd. And that was how they would ask questions of whoever the guests were.
Right.
And to me, it was a fascinating format. And, of course, he was a pretty... he could be edgy, and he didn't take guff from guests, but in a nice sort of way. He was always good-natured, and I thought it was a terrific show.
Yeah, interesting. I think you're talking about the second incarnation of this. The first one was 63, and that's when literally they would do phone calls from viewers on it. And then in 64, they decided they were going to try to go against Carson. And that was like August of 64. And that's when the show you're talking about, which came from West 66th.
Right. Well, the show with the callers was only New York from what I read.
Yeah. It was only New York. You're absolutely right. But it was originally Nightline, and then they called it the Les Crane Show, but Nightline originally. And it was interesting because they not only took the viewer phone calls, but the show was operating on delay. which is an interesting thing when you're a video show. But anyway, so yeah, they debuted it in August of 64 against Carson. I think it started at a weird time, like 11:20, you know. And, of course, local news and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it...
One other thing you were talking about recently, and I'm still waiting. I don't think I missed it. I'm still waiting to hear that air check from the show, not a special thing that Alan Freed was doing
with his regular show
in Cleveland.
I thought I gave you that. I swear I thought I gave you that. I didn't give you that. I'll do it tonight.
What you played was a special thing he did as a mea culpa after the riot.
Right, yeah. That was
I want to hear his actual show, which you said... Yeah. Never impressed you.
Never.
I bet it impresses me because I was a fan of him from the movies I saw him in. One other thing, I'd like to shatter a myth. You were talking a while back about duck and cover, and everybody makes fun of it. I saw those films in elementary school, just like everybody else did in the early 60s.
Yeah.
I knew people in the neighborhood with bomb shelters there in St. Louis, as a matter of fact.
Of course. But
here's the myth. The myth was that it was pointless to duck and cover with the turtle getting under the desk. It wasn't a bad idea because the idea was not that your school or whatever building you happen to be in where you were ducking and covering under the desk. The idea wasn't that it was close enough to ground zero for your building to be vaporized. The idea was that you might be 20 miles and therefore still subject to the shock wave.
Right.
And that would be quite useful if you were in a building that was hit with that shock wave from 15 or 20 miles out from ground zero. It would be quite useful to have ducked and covered under the desk. So that's one myth out the window, and I thank you for letting me be part of your broadcast.
All right, I'll give you want JW, like from 1952? WJW? I'll give you that on Alan Freed.
Well, fine and dandy. Okay. At your leisure.
Yeah, I've got a lot of it. I probably even have K-Day, but I'm in the Globe studio tonight, so let me see what I can pull from Cleveland. All right, thanks.
Rock on, Raleigh.
Okay,
over and out.
Appreciate it. All right, now, I don't label things well, so that's the understatement, to say the least. So we say goodbye to Brian, and I thought I had played, but I guess I didn't. I've got a lot of Alan Freed air checks, but for reasons that elude me as well. But in any event, I think that this is regular programming in 52. And again, remember when he was on WJW, his sponsor was Leo Mintz and Record Rendezvous. And that's the guy who really coined rock and roll as far as for music. But in any event, you know, so it was sort of a bought and paid for show. But regardless, he did this nightly. And let's see if this is it. I hope so anyway.
Well. And the blues away by Tiny Crab, Rock and Highlanders, the Record Rendezvous, Moondockers. God bless you. Thank you so much for your wonderful telephone calls and your telegrams. We're with you too, and I want you to tell us tonight that you're with us.
Okay.
So whatever you do,
okay. That is a live show, but it's from the same night after the event. So we're not going to use that. We'll find something else. So believe me, I've got it. So yeah, and rarely has it ever come in handy. So we'll see if we can find something more useful. So let's see, what is this? Yeah, it would help if I labeled them or at least listened to them beforehand. But let's see what this one is.
Pile it out, buddy.
See Joe Davis sitting over there. Don't let him near your bones, kid. All those Moondog bones will be gone. Joe's a wonderful guy. It's always grand to see him. Make some wonderful records with those Crickets. Otis Blackwell, music publisher. And he's been around this business for a long time. Hello, everybody. Hi, all tonight. This is Alan Freed, the old king of the Moondoggers, and it's time again for another of your favorite rock and roll sessions, blues and rhythm records for all the gang in the Moondog Kingdom from the Midwest to the East Coast. We're going to be saying hello to a lot of folks who've written to us tonight from all over the Moondog Kingdom, all around the Cleveland area, Newark, New Jersey, New York City, Long Island, wherever you are. And I hope you folks have a good supply of good old Aaron Brew on hand. It's the greatest beer of them all, Northern Ohio's largest selling beer for good taste and flavor. So enjoy Aaron Brew as you enjoy the Moondog Show. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Moondog Rock and Roll Party. Another big Tuesday night rock and roll get-together with all the gang in the Moondog Kingdom. And away we go with Gil Bernal, picking up that tenor horn to blow it strong, and the spark label and the whip. There's a real rockin' thing to get us off and rollin' on our Tuesday night rock and roll Moondoggers, Gil Bernal, the Moondog Show, Spark Records, and the Whip. You know, folks, I don't mind paying a little bit extra to enjoy a bigger or better steak, but man, when it comes to beer, there's just no sense to spend extra money when you can get the finest. Aaron Brew, 10.02 at the popular price. That's what I said, and that's what I mean, because Aaron Brew is the finest beer you can buy, and that's why it's the number one beer in the Northern Ohio area. New Aaron Brew 1002 is balanced for good taste. That special formula 1002 makes this the beer that is not too dry, not too light, but balanced just right to really satisfy. So, folks, you take a tip from the old king and give it a try. And your very first sip will tell you that here is a true beer flavor that just can't be beat. Enjoy the finest. Save money. Always ask for Aaron Brew Formula 1002. And remember, for real enjoyment, all you have to do is pop a cap.
Wow. Then take a nice long sip.
Boy, that stuff is really here. Aaron Brew 1002, the brand new beer.
When you're thirsty.
How about it, folks? Pop a cap and live it up as we enjoy your favorite blues and rhythm records. Wherever you are in the old Moondog Kingdom, you'll hear them all. Here's Kitty Noble, a newcomer to the Herald label, and Can't See Nobody But You.
Yeah, so there you have it. I've got a lot more of that, but I'll find an INS air check for Brian as well. Probably won't play it tonight because, after all, how much Alan Freed can you take? But, yeah, of course, by 55, he's on INS in New York. But that's from WJW. You'll notice how he's mentioning the labels, of course. And, again, it was Leo Mintz who sponsored this, so Record Rendezvous was selling that stuff. All right, so there you have it. Of course, by time he was INS, he just went direct to the labels. All right, so we'll talk to Cindy in Chicago. There's room for you too, and we have a request. In fact, I'll start with Dave's request from the North Side last night. Little Willie John coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. I light on my baby and stay with her till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I dig a 10-foot ditch and run through the jungle fighting lions with a switch. Of course, you know I love you, baby. Yes, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man. Around the world, I got blisters on my feet. Trying to find my baby and bring her home with me. You better run into me, baby, and be convinced. If you don't run into me, woman, you ain't got no sense. Cause you know I love you, baby. Well, you know I love you, baby. Well, if I don't love you, baby, grits and groceries, eggs and poultry. Trees and Mona Lisa was a man. Forget, lost all my money, my woman, and my pet.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's the original Lou Willie John King Records, the 78, 1955, all around the world. Titus Turner wrote that, interestingly. And, of course, tons of covers, including Chicago cover, Little Milton. Yeah, he did it as Grits Ain't Groceries rather than All Around the World, because, after all, we were all calling it Grits Ain't Groceries. So 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. And that is going to take us to Cindy. And Cindy is in Chicago. And what's going on tonight, Cindy?
Yeah, I guess they were saying on the radio, I don't know what station it was, maybe it was WGN, like, what is his name, that John Williams?
John Williams, absolutely. I believe that's 9 to 1 or 9 to 9.
I can't even remember John Williams.
Yes.
But then, I think he was saying, you know, it was like $100 a semester in 1972 to go to University of Illinois Circle campus.
Well, sure. In California, it was pretty much free. Now, if you had the grades, you'd be in the UC system. But if you didn't have the grades, you'd be in the Cal State system. But University of Florida in 1970, that would have been about $100 a semester. Most of the state schools were.
And if I could say Governor Thompson, he started Illinois State Scholarship, and everyone went for free. I went to Concordia pretty much free.
Well, it's different now.
Yeah, I don't know what they do, you know, but then... And what, you know, I was going to call the reference librarian. I tried to Google it, but they didn't, you know, But then, anyhow, what did that ever mean when they said, I don't know if you could find out, at University of Illinois... Well, like, the one woman I worked with majored in accounting at a Circle campus, and she said that when she was there, she was one of the first people, women led into the accounting department. And then she said, like, well, that wasn't like a professor's daughter. And, like, the professor's daughters would wear their suits and everything. And they called the people that were, like, from blue-collar families getting into college, like the crazies? What do the crazies mean? What does that mean?
It's not that it means anything, but the bottom line to that is there's always been that type of discrimination among people who believe they're the elite and you're the peons. But don't, you know, it's just anecdotal. This wasn't anything that was ever codified. You know, there was nothing in the U of I manual that said crazies. It doesn't work like that.
I know, but it was like some kind of slang, you know, like...
Right, so what? Why even think about it?
Well, I'm just curious, what did that ever mean? I don't know.
It didn't mean anything except people who felt they were better than the next guy.
Oh. Okay, but that's about it. I'm back going to the pool.
Good.
And that's like making the sun come up. Yeah. And I'm getting out, you know, I get out. You said the other day, who even goes? I go to the library to read Barron's because I canceled my subscription.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it was all about AI and Elon Musk all the time. And why? I just don't want to pay for that. It's just, I mean, some things I'll read and I'll read it. You know, I'll go out to the library and read it on Sunday. But that's about it. And I didn't even get out to get in my car to listen to any songs. I don't have any songs today. But that's about. Oh, and then today I made a Greek spinach feta cheese pie, and that came out real good.
Mm-hmm.
And my sugar's under control again. Back. I mean, if you miss testing one day, for whatever reason that is, your sugar will spike if you don't test.
Well, that's why they have tests like the A1C to measure it over 90 days rather than to measure it at one point in time. When you're doing any test that's going to involve any type of endocrine glands, for instance, it's at the minute. You take that test the next day or a few hours later, it's different.
Yeah, I test every day now. But the weird thing is, it's nonsensical, but like you don't test for one day and your sugar will be
of course not.
Real high, and then you test every day and it's like, no, I don't know.
Okay. Are you talking about just the finger prick tests at home?
Yeah.
Well, take a look at the fine print there. There's a good 10% variance in terms of what they consider acceptable. Oh. Those tests are not 100% reliable that way. You can't look at... In fact, if you're wondering, if you ever get a reading where you say, this can't be right, take another strip and do it right then. You're going to see a different reading.
Yeah, and then Medicare gives you the cheap, Medicare Advantage gives you the cheapest meter, and half the time you have to order new strips because they don't even work.
Well, remember, everything in life has a cost, and the cost of free Medicare Advantage is what it is you're going to usually wind up with the lower end of the spectrum in terms of supplies. You know that when you're signing up for it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not accurate. As accurate as it's.
I wouldn't worry about it.
No, I'm not worried about it. Just something to talk about.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll take anything I can get. Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So there you have it. So 888-876-5593. Another one of your requests coming up next on WGN Radio. Oh, this is my turn. And see, Adam is telling me very politely that it's time for the Sea Crane read. Of course, it's written down right in front of me. And today we're going to talk about orphans. Now, if you go to ccradio.com, then you know all about this. Occasionally, somebody returns something for reasons I don't know. But the Sea Crane Company takes a look at it, makes sure that it is as good as new, and sells it at a discount. So if you're looking at a product and you're saying, you know, it's a little pricey for my budget, take a look at the orphan. Sea Crane is going to carefully clean, inspect, and test every item before they offer it at a discount price. And it comes with the same 60-day money-back guarantee as any new product, so there's nothing to risk. And now, this week only, in fact, Sea Crane has reduced the prices on their already discounted open box items even more. It's a great time to save. So whether you're looking at the CC Radio 3, anybody, or the CC Radio 2E, my bedside companion, even picking up a pocket radio or one of the many emergency radios or travel radios, is just terrific. And there's a limited supply of this, to be sure, because most people obviously keep their purchases, but it's a great time to save on a quality radio or accessory as far as that goes. So if you're thinking about something and it's the price that's been hanging you up, at least check it out. Go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and look at the orphans. I'll do that here and report back in a little while what I see, but it's a great time because it's a discount under all circumstances for an orphan, but this week only a bigger discount. So that may make the difference in ordering something. And remember, every radio that the Sea Crane Company has developed has one thing in common: terrific reception, AM and FM. So if you've got a radio that's not performing the way you'd like it to, and you want to be able to hear things that you otherwise aren't hearing, these are the radios that will do it. All of them have that in common. Now, of course, it's not magic. If the signal's not over your head to begin with, you're not going to pick it up. But if you do the comparison, if you've got a CC radio, take like the CC Radio 3, put it next to the average radio, tune to a weak AM station with your average radio, then tune to it with the CC Radio 3, and it's going to sell itself. So that's what all the radios have in common, but a lot of neat features too. So whether you're looking for an emergency radio that will work no matter what, or a travel radio that will include the air traffic control VHF band, or just a terrific AM/FM radio bedside companion with a clock, a timer, an alarm, and all the bells and whistles, they got them. CCRadio.com. CCRadio.com. Look at the orphans on WGN Radio. Tell them Raleigh sent you right here on WGN Radio.
Ba 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 brand. Ba 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 brand. But I knew they wouldn't do a bopper and bopper and take my hand on bopper and bopper and
Betty Lou, by Peggy Sue, but I knew they wouldn't do a Barbara Ann, Barbara Ann. Take my hand, a Barbara Ann, Barbara Ann. Take my hand, you got me rocking and a rolling, rocking and a real Barbara Ann, Barbara Ann.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and let me see who requested that, because I've had that on my sheet for quite a while, just enjoying that a little too much, the Regents and Barbara Ann, of course, and who was it? Well, this is great. Been sitting here all this time, obviously doing something close to nothing that wasn't this, so Mike in Elmwood Park wanted to hear it, that we know. All right, so Mike, hope you heard it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Kimberly and Dalton, what's up, Kimberly?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm here. I made the mistake of eating fast food, and I'm paying for it dearly tonight.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yep. Especially if you do it in a hurry.
Yeah, but you know what? I deserve it. And it was good going down, so, hey, I'll deal with it coming up.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. Well, you know what? Some months ago, you gave us a wonderful history in the background of the poor people of Paris. But since it's Bastille Day today,
oh, God.
I was wondering if you might consider playing the Dean Martin version for Bastille Day.
Okay, yeah. All right. Let me write this down. All right. I will look for that. I don't know if I have it on this computer, but if I got it, you got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
I hope John's well, too, and you take care.
Thanks.
I forgot to ask.
All right. No, that's good. All right. So, great. And hope Jean is as well. Now, 888-876-5593. Nick is in Baltimore. All right, Nick, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Raleigh?
Can't complain. How about yourself?
I can't complain either. I understand about the fast food thing. I have those problems.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know what that's like.
Exactly, and we were just out, you know, shopping for something else, and John said, oh, I want to stop there, and, you know, I know how good this stuff tastes. And I'm like, okay, and boy, I'll tell you what, it'll be a while before I do it again. I got my reminder.
Well, these things happen, but I know what you're going through, and
yeah.
It's okay. It just happens. I told John I wanted to ask you about X-Rock out of Mexico.
Yeah.
I know we talked about it before. I heard an air check of them several months ago, and that was great. But first, did you get the other email I sent you about the Charlotte thing?
Oh, yes. And, of course, you know, you signed and I've signed, and we had Johnny Caudill on the air as well. So we've been pushing that petition.
Oh, okay. So you had him on. Okay.
When did you have
him on?
A week before last Thursday. So it'll be 2 weeks this coming Thursday. And then last Thursday I did an update that he had given me on where they were in terms of what they're trying to do. You know, I'm hopeful because the Mecklenburg County and Charlotte historical people have kind of stepped in, and I'm hoping they'll at least preserve the building, if nothing else because of the World War II bunker and all that kind of wonderful stuff. They're not going to be able to save those Blaunox towers, which is a real, real shame, because those wonderful, wonderful diamond-shaped towers, there's only 8 of them left standing, and BT has 3. They're going to lose that, and they'll lose the land ultimately. But, you know, now there's a question, and Johnny had brought this up when he sent me an email a few days ago saying it's not entirely certain that Radio 1 or Urban 1 or whatever they are these days owns the land. It's possible that it's Beasley. So I did not know that. I have no...
I saw that too.
Yeah, and so I don't know. And you know, the other thing that kind of hurt my heart is when everybody was talking about BT as an afterthought in the same sentence. They said, and they've sold Radio Road tower site. Well, my God, that's the old Waze tower site, and certainly it wasn't legendary like BT. But for anybody who liked Top 40 Radio in Charlotte in the 60s and 70s, man, Waze was a very big deal. So would love to see something done with that too. But nonetheless, they're on it. And staying on it, and I've got links on Raleigh.net to signing the petition. So if you're listening right now and you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about, well, go to Raleigh.net and take a look, and you can click on it, and on change.org, it doesn't cost you a thing, don't worry. you will be able to see what the deal is and sign up. So, yeah, I'm Johnny Caudill. He's the guy, the weather guy in Charlotte, who's spearheading this.
So anybody can sign that?
Anybody. Oh, I figured when you sent it to me, it's because you had already signed.
No, I didn't.
Go to Raleigh.net, click on the link, and you'll sign.
So I can. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I heard from Mike Lance down in Miami that they're talking. They're not sure they're going to take it off the air. They may diplex. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if anything's true at this point. They're preserving their rights. They didn't turn the license back yet. They're just running that endless loop. They're going to have to do something at some point here. Mike is familiar with the market, from what I know, and so he might have some good intel.
Yeah, he's talked to a lot of people down there. He called the stations. He talked to somebody down there, and I guess they told him that, you know, they're not sure, but they may diplex.
Yeah, they're probably looking at every option they can come up with that is cost effective, and because all these companies, of course, barely pay the debt service.
It's the way it is.
Yes,
in this business, the station I used to work at, WNAV, that land's been sold, they're going to move. So they're going to go to some sort of low powered. Situation. They haven't done it yet.
Yeah, they'll probably do monopole. You know, one of those 85-foot monopole.
Yeah,
right. 85-foot monopole, no ground system needed. Ha.
Go down to 200 watts.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hang on a minute. Don't go away, because I know you wanted to talk about X-Rock. So we will do that too. Don't go away. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right after the news. And John's saying to me, "Stop talking. I can do that on WGN Radio."
You know the burger, now meet the beer. Chicago's own Billy Goat Tavern and Old Irving Brewing Company teamed up to pour two new reasons to stop by. The all-new Billy Goat IPA and Pilsner. One bold and hoppy, one crisp and refreshing. Grab one with your next double at the Goat or pick up a 4-pack at select retailers. Billy Goat Tavern and Old Irving Brewing. Here's to Chicago.
Chisburga, 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 chisburga.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we know inspiration's in full swing this time of year. So bring us your wild ideas, and we'll bring the value on the quality supplies you need to make it happen at unbeatably low prices. Right now, during our summer pet care sale, save $7 on assorted Diamond Naturals dog food, starting at $32.99. 20% off all dog and cat toys. Plus, rewards members get free same-day local delivery on pet supply orders of $49 or more. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Be an original.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Rude customer behaviors. Restaurant servers absolutely hate.
Bob Surratt.
Snapping fingers or whistling. Splitting checks on multiple cards. Telling the host you know the manager.
You know who I am.
Letting kids run wild. Control your kids. Lingering a long time. That costs the restaurant and the people who wait on people money.
Especially if it's crowded.
Move on.
The Bob Surratt Morning Show.
Pay, tip well, and leave.
Weekday morning starting at 6 on WGN.
For the first time yesterday, I used voice texting.
Yes!
It was because my phone got an update.
Are you still using the iPhone 6?
No, I have the flip phone.
Come on, I have an 8 Plus.
I'm going to be like my wife now, constantly voice texting.
Bob Surratt.
I've entered the 20th century.
Is this the 21st? We're 21st, yeah.
Okay.
So you're still 100 years behind.
Weekday mornings at 6 on WGN. The best local resources combined with the global resources of News Nation. This is the station that keeps you informed. Chicago's very own, on air and online. WGN Chicago. A Nexstar Media Group station.
We've got clear skies at O'Hare. It's 84 degrees. 11 o'clock now. Good evening. I'm David Jennings. The news is sponsored by the Gilkey Window Company. We're not out of the heat wave yet. On the expressways and the tollways, on the inbound Kennedy, it'll take you 36 minutes right now. The hottest temperatures of the summer are right here in Chicago. We're going to see temps in the low to mid-90s the rest of the week, heat indices in triple digits. Despite the readings, the area is not under a heat advisory, thanks to the dew point. WGN-TV Chief Meteorologist Demetrius Ibery explained when we're going to see the numbers back to the 70s and 80s.
It looks like it's going to rain most of the day Friday. And certainly Saturday afternoon may just be showers. So we're still going to be in the 90s, low 90s for Friday, low to mid 90s. Then on Saturday, we're talking low 90s. And then as we get into next week, we'll have temperatures back in the 80s.
There are about 191 million U.S. residents who are feeling the heat. Summer is primetime boating season across Chicagoland. Here's WGN's Jenna Barnes.
Anthony Malik is the guy boaters call when they're in trouble. He lives on a boat in Belmont Harbor and gets more than 250 calls a season for boats taking on water, running out of gas. Over the 4th, he responded when a boat hit a seawall near 31st Street Beach.
In a matter of about 1,500 feet, this 40-foot boat dropped straight to the bottom.
He says the fog that evening caused confusion and disorientation. Just one change in the weather that can lead to dangerous conditions.
Whenever you're dealing with Mother Nature, give her the respect that she deserves.
A lot of people enjoy summer boating, but it is essential to be aware of the dangers and take precautions to keep yourself and others who are in the water safe. Chicago Public Schools have taken a step at trying to close a $732 million budget gap. Here's WGN's James Sears.
CPS says it's laid off 162 central office and citywide staff, a move that'll save $18 million. The district says it tried cutting other expenses first, like renegotiating vendor contracts and reducing some non-essential office services, but it's getting harder to find cuts that don't impact the classroom. Later this week, officials plan to unveil the district's proposed $10 billion budget that'll likely include more spending cuts because they say of rising operational costs and inadequate state and federal funding.
Mayor Johnson's effort to get several appointments to the Chicago Housing Authority Board ran into a roadblock put up by City Council. Sun-Times reports the mayor introduced three appointments to the board to a committee to try to speed up the confirmation process and seat the new members quickly. That got opposition. Opponents argued direct introductions to committees are reserved for emergencies. The mayor's office says that Johnson nominated highly qualified candidates. Federal authorities laid out plans for a new trade fraud task force. And while the man leading the charge was praised for its efforts this time, he got scolded for different actions days ago. WGN's Jeremy Ross.
The Trade Fraud Task Force, which is now a permanent force within our fraud division, has officially surpassed $1 billion.
Federal leaders calling that total the largest ever trade fraud crackdown.
The case that propelled us past the $1 billion milestone was brought right here in Chicago.
Prosecutors say in the last 98 days, they've made 900 major fraud enforcement actions impacting billions of taxpayer dollars with ties to Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, and much more.
More than 1,000 federal cases led by prosecutors in Boutros' office are currently under review. Efforts to make daylight saving time permanent are moving ahead. The House passed the Sunshine Protection Act, which would set the clock to the time currently observed from March to November. Backers say it would help farmers, improve public health, reduce car crashes and crime. Florida Senator Rick Scott's introduced a similar bill in the Senate.
So what this is going to do is give every state the opportunity to pick.
But we're not going to go back and forth twice a year where everybody has to change their clocks and get used to different sleep patterns and things like that. So some state might want a different time. Have at it.
The House bill now goes to the Senate for consideration. The European Union considering banning social media for children after similar efforts seen in the UK and Australia to limit kids' access to social media platforms. A report given to the head of the EU Commission yesterday suggested restricting access to social media for kids under the age of 13 unless there's a parent or teacher present. WGN Sports Time, 11:05. The All-Star Game is in the books, and the American League won yet again the final 4-0.
Warm and humid tonight with temperatures only falling into the upper 70s.
Stand by for your teas.
Expect clear skies and light winds. Wednesday looks to be our hottest day in this stretch with highs into the upper 90s and heat index readings up to 105. We'll see sunshine throughout the day with light northwesterly winds and very humid conditions. Wednesday night stays warm with overnight lows into the upper 70s. From the WGN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Alyssa Donovan.
It is 84 degrees now at O'Hare.
There we
the
go.
Same at Midway. It is 77 in Michigan City and 73 in Kenosha. Chicago News, 24/7, breaking news at once. I'm David Jennings, WGN Radio News.
And I'm Raleigh James. More of your calls and requests coming up on WGN Radio.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
Shabam, 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 shabam.
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only have eyes for you. But I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, the Flamingos, 1959 on End. I Only Have Eyes for You. And that was Mike and Elmwood Park who wanted to hear it. And, you know, that song dates back to 1934. There's been over 650 versions easily recorded of that, and it was a theatrical release originally. Dick Powell did it first, and then Georgie Price and Eddie Duchin and a ton of people in 1934, and then on and on. But, man, for most of us of a certain age, we remember so fondly the Flamingos and what a great rendition of that was. That was recorded at Bell Sound in late 58 in New York. All right, so back to Nick in Baltimore. Sorry about that, Nick. All right, so we're going to talk about X-Rock, are we?
Yeah, but you know something about that Flamingo song, by the way. I just wanted to mention real quick, and I'll watch the clock this time. Jay-Z used that when they did the big affiliation switch back in '95.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they did Westinghouse used that whole thing with CBS, and when they switched from ABC, and they had they used that soundtrack, and he had all the Jay-Z personalities, which are basically all gone now.
Yes.
And that station really looks bad now.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
It's not the same Channel 13, but it's just watered down.
Yeah. That's a shame.
He's horrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to talk about X-Rock, El Paso, if you will. Well, at first, you kind of got to understand the Mexican border blasters to get a handle on this. Because, and, of course, the big frequency swap in 1941, Narva, you know, when everything changed. Originally, it was XER in down there, Dr. Brinkley's station, in which became XERF. But in Acuna, right across the river from Del Rio. And while Brinkley had it, at one point they were running 1,000,000 watts. Now, not legally, but they were licensed to 500,000 watts, which is interesting. But when they were at 1,000,000, you know, 1 megawatt, literally, I mean, people in Texas were fit to be tied because car headlights would turn on and bed springs would hum and on and on and on. So, and of course, Dr. Brinkley, you know, he's in Del Rio doing these goat gland operations at the Brinkley Clinic. So finally, between the Mexican government and Texas, they kind of shut him down. And so when XER came back, that was, originally when it was XER, why am I bringing this up? Because it was on 800, okay? So when they when they signed it off, the Mexican government signed it off, now here comes 41 Narva, where everybody has, you know, frequency swaps, and they award 800 to basically across the water from El Paso, which is where it was. Now, it didn't start with the kind of power you'd think. They were licensed to Juarez, of course, and they were running as a Mexican clear 50,000 watts. But ultimately, the guy who owned it built a transmitter for 250,000, and it was 250,000 on and off, not all the time, because remember, on AM the wattage is expensive, no matter how you look at it. And so you know, they've got the right to do 250, but they're basically not doing it. And then, of course, when it changed, because it was XELO, it wasn't X-Rock originally, it was XELO. When that changed to X-Rock in about 73, that's when they decided that they were going to, you know, up the power, and they did. So you got another 800 that's in the mix, too. Don't forget Radio Bonaire. They were running 500,000 watts.
Right.
So,
and I got that.
Oh, of course you did. Yes, of course you did, because you're right there on the Atlantic there. Absolutely. So
I used to beat up CKLW.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because there's nowhere where there's a sweet spot where you could get all three stations. And believe me, I try to find one, and there just isn't. But it is very possible to get Bonaire and X-Rock, or Bonaire and CK, depending on where you are. Not well. One of them is going to be more dominant than the others. But I think what happened at XELO was that when they, in 72, when they got changed format to top 40 and went to the higher power, that was American investors. And they put the sales offices in El Paso, and they were, you know, obviously going for English language. And that's when they changed the call letters to X-Rock, Rock being, of course, Rock and all that. And that was big, but that was the 70s. X-Rock was not running, for the most part, more than 50,000 watts in the 60s. Occasionally more. They had the right to do more, but that was it. And then, of course, while we're talking border blasters, don't forget Monterey, XEG, but also, of course, 690. You know, that was a baseline of 50,000 watts. And then, of course, you know, McClendon bought it, and they went all news and all that. But they were never, a lot of people thought, because Wolfman Jack was on XERB and all that, that 690 would also have the most they ever had at 690 was 77,000 watts. So, and that was, by the way, a seven tower array. So, the other thing those Rosarito towers were further away than some of the others. So it was about 7,000. So those are some of what you've got going on there.
Now X-Rock, when they were 250, you said, like in 73, when they were top 40.
Yeah. When the American
were they directional.
Yeah, absolutely. They were directional. But that's an interesting thing. I say that with assurance, but as I'm thinking about it, well, I don't know. It is a Mexican clear facility, but I'm pretty sure that they were. But I'll take a look at the tower sites because I've got pictures and I don't know. Bonaire was clearly directional, you know, and of course CK was directional. So I assumed that X Rock was as well, but you know, that's an interesting question.
Bonaire's back on, I think.
Yeah, but not with rock and roll.
I never heard of it as a rock and
roll. Oh, yeah, that's when I used to listen every night, yeah.
They were rock and roll too?
Oh, they were top 40 in the 60s, yes.
Really?
Yes, that's why I liked them. Radio Bonaire, Lesser Antilles.
When did they go, because when I heard them, they were religion.
No, they weren't, you know, mid-60s they definitely weren't. After that, I don't know, because, you know, I'd move and you wouldn't always get them. But definitely mid-60s, they were a top 40 station.
I missed it.
Yeah. So
are there any air checks of that?
So now let's see this. Of Radio Bonaire, I doubt it. The 800 from Juarez was non-directional initially. Now let me make sure it stayed there. It might have. Then that would be the grand. Well, obviously Bonaire would be because of the frequency, because of the power. But this X Rock would certainly best CK. So, was it ever directional? I don't know. Maybe not. You know, I remember when it went in 73, I knew some of the engineers loved to go there with neon lights and have, like, saber battles and stuff like that because it would light
the... It would light up.
Yeah, yeah. And so it would light up, dramatically light up. So I think, how about that? 150,000 watt non-directional. All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see where they went directional. What I do see until the American investors turned it to X-Rock, before that, what I see dramatically is that they wouldn't always have that power up, you know, because, again, it costs money. But when they changed the call letters to X-Rack and built that new transmitter for 150,000 watts, they were very serious about that for a brief minute there.
One more question.
Yeah.
Are there air checks of King in Seattle as a top 40 station?
Oh, God, I hope not. I was going to say, oh, God, I've got some air checks when I worked King in Seattle, but no. Let's see. I remember them too doing that.
I've never heard them as a top 40.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know. I think there's a China Smith air check. I think,
okay.
And I'll take a look on. That's from the 70s. To see, but I think, because, you know, here's there, I think that there's one of him, but I'm not doing this by looking it up, but I will right now look it up to see about YouTube and see if I can come up with China Smith King, and we can hear some of it, maybe. But I'm pretty sure that he would be it. Let's see. All right. All right. 1971. We'll hear it together. Let's see what we get.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Much More Music with China Smith.
K-I-N-G, Seattle.
10 p.m. It's the Big 11 where the parade of hits just keeps on coming. Dennis Coffey, Detroit Guitar Band. From their album Evolution, this is Scorpio. Scorpio. Dennis Coffey, Detroit Guitar Band. It's the Big 11. It's 10:04 at K-I-N-G. I'm China Smith. This is Joe Simon, drowning. In the sea of love, it's hitbound. Drowning in the sea of love, Joe Simon, hitbound. At the Big 11, it's 10:07. I'm China Smith.
Well, that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, sadly, that signal, oh, God, that 1090 was just terrible because you'd leave King at night, let's say you were driving to Everett, and you would not even be out of the parking lot at King before you'd hear 1090 Express. You know, that it was just, you know, 50,000 watts, but an abysmal signal, and particularly at night, just abysmal. And, of course, you know, it was owned by, what was her name? Dorothy Stimson Bullitt. And she didn't want to make money. In fact, she fired her son for wanting to make money. Dorothy was when World War II ended, she got the call letters, and it was smart too because they weren't available. She bought them from a ship, and got the call letters. And her whole thing, she had this manifest. And when you worked at King, you didn't have to memorize it, but you had to read it and adhere to it. And the point number one was, we provide a voice to the voiceless. And, you know, in the top five, there's nowhere in there that says profit. But the interesting thing about it was that she made money in spite of herself, like nobody else, because providing a voice to the voiceless, once television came around, meant, well, you're going to have some CATV outlets, right? So she wound, she wound up with more of what became cable, King Cable, than anybody else. She had a ton of the CATV. And for a while, she had more ENG trucks than any networks on the West Coast. I mean, and she was just providing a voice to the voiceless. Ultimately, she died, and her two daughters took it over. But not only did they not want to make profit, but they could have sold that FM for a fortune, and instead they wanted to make sure it remained classical. But
and they donated it.
Yes, absolutely, so that it would stay classical. So that was the sisters. That Dorothy was dead by then. But yeah, King was, it was a show place. It really, you walked in there and it looked like the lobby of the Hyatt or something. It was nice. And for a while, they had studios that looked over the water that I thought were the most mesmerizing thing. And when I went back there in the 90s, they had moved the studios. They no longer had the view. I'm like, what? Who approved that? So, you know, there it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. It's
yeah, and so you can probably download that China Smith Erchick, and it gives you an idea exactly what it was. But you know, I mean,
yeah, I always wondered because I heard that they were top 40. Well, you had said they were top 40.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but it was so odd when KJR, am I saying this right, had initially, you know, had it sewn up. And then when Mitch Miller proclaimed rock and roll dead and Les Smith went back and changed the format, that gave KOL the ability to get in there. And KOL had some good moments, I'll tell you what. So there was some interesting radio in Seattle. I did a profile on them. It's free. You can read it on radio, worldwide.
Is it on the history site?
Yeah, it is. It is. So you can read that for free.
And David Gleason's.
Yes, exactly. So it's up there, absolutely free to read. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I will. Because I really like, I read some, you know, your stuff. You did some extensive research on every.
Well, yeah, back at a point when that research was, you know, there obviously was no internet or anything like that. But I still lament that my inherent laziness, which sort of dictates my life, took over, and I only did like 10 or 11 markets. I should have done them all. I should have just, you know, just taken myself by the bootstraps and said, do this, instead of, you know, taking more naps. But there's 10 or 11 of them, and that's it.
Well, you did this one.
Yes, I did. Absolutely. I think Baltimore's the last one I did. I loved Baltimore. And had all sorts of computer crashes doing that, too, back in the day. This was the mid-80s. And, yeah, when it was all the IBM PC and the Tandy 1000.
We had great radio.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, 50s, 60s, even into the 80s, it was pretty
good.
Yeah,
well, that's why I handpicked the market. I wanted to do it. You betcha. I was going to do DC next, and then I just didn't. Oh, well.
DC was good, too,
well,
in the 60s and 70s. But
what interested me, of course, was there was never a top 40 station with a nighttime signal. That's why CAO owned DC at night. And I thought that was interesting when you had Winx Wheel and Weem and, you know, then, of course, Don Dillard. So there was a lot of stuff that I would have done, but instead I opted for another nap. Oh, well.
Riley, one more question. I know you got the break coming up. Didn't they do top 40 briefly?
Yes, absolutely. I'll tell you about it after the break.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right, we'll pick it up there right after the break, right here on WGN Radio.
Just got back from Paris, France. All they do is sing and dance. All they got there is romance. What a tragedy. Every boulevard has lovers. Every lover's in a trance. The poor people of Paris. I feel sorry for the French. Every guy has got a wench. Every couple's got a bench, kissing shamelessly. Night and day they're making music while they're making love in French, the poor people of Paris.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's for Kimberly Foundit and Jean. That's on French Style, a Dean Martin album on a reprise from 1962 that had all sorts of things like Darling, Javo Zemba, all that, and everything else. But, of course, the lyrics were damn near an international incident because it was all a misunderstanding. The original song was not meant to be... I think a guy was Jack Lawrence who did the English lyrics, but he certainly bastardized the French song that Edith Piaf sung, and because they thought when they translated it that it was poor people, but it was actually poor John. It was referring to this this individual who was, you know, wronged and in love, but it was a working class life and all that. Well, of course, not exactly working class here, more like a comedy. So there were those who were highly insulted by that, actually, which makes it even funnier. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Now let's see, what do we have here? Who's been hanging on a while? I believe Robert in Chicago. What's up, Robert?
Yeah, I've got about three requests for this evening.
Well, it may not be this evening. We're pretty much taking up, but maybe this week. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. First one is I've Had It by the Bell Notes.
Okay.
And then Bristol Stomp by the Dovells.
Okay.
And one from the 40s from my folks' time. I think it was Tommy Dorsey, So Rare.
Oh, yeah. All right. Absolutely So Rare. You bet it. All right. We'll do it. Thanks.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
So, 888-876-5593. Eduardo in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, Robbie. How's it going?
Yeah, I can't complain. I still haven't played Street Player by Chicago, but I will.
Okay, well, let me add just one more, maybe next week. Chicago by Roy Ayers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So everybody knows about Pamplona and the Bulls, but in Italy, in every August, including the one in Siena where they do the horse race around Siena, but there's another one, Monte Post. Toscano, Motepulciano, every August. And that is a wine barrel race.
Wine barrel.
Yeah. I saw that in the Sunday CBS show.
Bulls are a lot more fun.
Yeah. Which they still can't get that right because you're supposed to just, like, jump from the balcony and just jog with the bulls, but they still can't do that. They want to be maniacs and run through the streets of Pamplona.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, but this one is a little bit more civilized.
That's a shame.
So I don't know how many years they've been doing it, but you know, it's a nice spectator thing to see them do this. So, and it's not wild, you know, like the other ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting. What did you think about that building that was going to come down in York?
Oh. Well, of course, we don't know. Yeah, the one that they're working on it, they're going to rehab it into luxury condos from a business office. And next thing you know, on about the 26th floor, all the support beams start to pretty much sway out.
Yeah.
Well,
and they got to clear a wide area.
But I have not heard anything since then. It didn't fall down yet.
Okay.
But it was a question, of course, you know, the union made statements immediately about how it was, you know, a cheap deal of the owners or whatever, not following, but who knows? I mean, I can't imagine. But yeah, it was a 33 story building and it was the 26th floor that workers were working on from what I remember seeing. And, yeah, the way those, support beams started to bulge. Oh my God. Yeah, so get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, so hopefully they'll fix that problem.
Well, they kind of buckled. And, you know, I'll tell you who used to be in that building was Pfizer. And they were, why not? They were converting it into, you know, these 1,600 luxury apartments or something. So, obviously, they executed the structure, which was why it was on the news. The fire department comes down, all that, and they do that, and it closed a lot of streets and all of that. And that was a week ago, and you know what? That's one of those interesting things. We haven't heard a follow-up, have we?
No. So, something to stay tuned on.
Yeah, I want to know if there's a following a week later. What are they doing?
Yeah, I've not heard anything on your update or some of the, right. Or even WABC, because I listen to, besides listening to KFI, I listen to WABC, but
right.
I didn't hear anything on WABC either.
It's literally 1 week ago, and so apparently they got overnight crews, hopefully getting double time, in there to support the structure and stop further floor sagging, But, yeah, and like I say, days following the event, they had the street closures and all that because it was like 2nd Avenue and 42nd Street. So it was big there. But, you know, it's interesting that the workers, you know, looked at this and said, hey, I've been in construction for decades, never seen a beam bend in half.
Yeah,
so those were great quotes. But what's the update? Because the Department of Buildings, obviously, you would think they'd swing into high gear. So I want to know. Let's see if we can find anything here. If they've released anything yet. And let's see. The initial city and forensic investigation focuses on overloaded structural supports. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. All right, so direct cause. The managing principal of the developer stated that faulty column supports carrying too much weight caused the buckle. Yeah, again, no kidding. But so they're launching a criminal probe. Why not? New York City Department of Investigation. And the developers have hired a prominent engineering firm to conduct independent forensic analyses. We don't know. No new movement or shifting has been detected in the last week. They've done that emergency stabilization. But apparently plans are being formed to remove and replace 15 or more of the top floors. How about all of them? So, you know, how about starting over? Nothing official beyond that. So I guess we have to wait for...
You know, Raleigh, I'll just make this point, but remember I called earlier on a previous show that New York was sinking. Would that have anything
to
do with that?
No, probably not. That would cause its own problems, but not this. And it's not sinking at that kind of a rate, but anyway, I thought it was 33 floors. I just looked at it. They say it was 38, even worse. I would think that they'd be best be starting over. That's just me, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but we'll see. I doubt they will, but we'll see how, what they have to do. I don't know when the building was first constructed. You know, like I say, Pfizer was in it and other people were too as a office building. But, I'd like more copy on... I'll check into its history, at least, since clearly nobody's telling me anything about its future.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Raleigh, I'll call later in the week. Thank you very much.
I'm counting on it. All right, so yes. Yeah, that drives me crazy with stories. You'll hear one, and you'll get all this interesting information, and then you'll never hear another word. It's like it didn't happen. except that it did. Pat is in Texas. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's happening tonight in Texas?
Well, Rally, yes. it's so nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, what's going on?
How are you and John? You're in Arizona, right? Yeah,
yes, 114 degrees, all that kind of stuff, yes.
Wait. When I moved down after 35 years in Chicago, and I asked you, and you told me, Magnolia, just, you know, north of Houston, you said a lot of trees.
A lot of humidity.
But a lot of humidity.
Yep.
Oh, man, were you right.
Oh, yes. I wish I wasn't, but, hey, it's too much for me. It's liquid oxygen.
But you know what? I gave my snow shovel away to my neighbor.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do it anymore. It's a trade-off.
Of course it is. There are no perfect places.
So, how are you, John? And
well, I was doing better before
Arizona is hot, but it's not so humid.
Oh, it's not humid at all. It's single digits.
So, I mean, it's much more comfortable.
Well, yeah, except, you know, depending on your furniture, your couch might fall apart. But other than that, sure.
No, it's funny. You know, you were just talking to Eduardo about that building.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, there's going to be lawsuits going on.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, you know. And they... After things started buckling, they may have to take the whole building down.
Well, see, that's what I thought they'd be better off doing. And, of course, you know, the union, of course, is having their moment of glory on this, and they're not up for getting back in there and working on it. And so, I don't know. It probably best would be, sir, by taking it down. But, you know, obviously investors bought this, and they saw dollar signs, went, oh, we can convert an office building into luxury condos. Well,
oh, my God.
Well, we'll see.
You know, that's almost some kind of bullshit.
Somebody would
do in an area that, you know, unincorporated. You can do what you want, and you just build something on top of something that can't support the structure or the weight.
In this case, clearly there was permits after permits after permits. So the question is first. Was any of this information falsified? Is this a situation where the building could not handle it? Was it something that's unforeseen? That's what you mean by the lawsuits. It's yet to be seen who did what to whom. Problem is Manhattan's an island and it's a small one, so that land is in high demand. So all they can do is go vertical, and so every one of those buildings is worth a fortune. But we don't think of them falling apart, but it's like that condominium in Surfside outside of Miami Beach a couple of years ago that just fell apart.
Oh, yeah. The pool and the roof?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't on the roof.
The structure and everything just...
Right. Actually, the pool was over the parking garage, not over the roof. But even so, but, you know, that's one of the problems with condos, too, when associations don't want to pay for some of the upkeep that they need to pay for. And I don't blame the owners. They don't want the assessments. But there are times when, well, you think this can't happen? Well, guess what? It did.
Well, you know what? I think that one you're talking about in Florida.
Yeah.
I think they had warnings.
There are many
inspection warnings,
and they
just ignored it.
Well, yeah. Well, and they also did what we'd call cosmetic fixes, because there were people who were seeing leaks into the garage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's going to be lawsuits for the next decade too. So, absolutely, but. You know, one of the interesting things is so many people live in condos these days that you have some states, Arizona's one of them, where if an investor comes in and buys 75% of the units, they can force the other 25% to sell, whether they want to or not. Now, on the one hand, you say, that's terrible. You shouldn't be able to be forced to do it. And you're right. But then you look at why that came about. What started to happen was that older buildings in need of maintenance and all that, the owners did not, you know, vote in the condo association to pay for better upkeep. So they have buildings that are in danger. And so that's why they said, well, if an investor wants to buy it and fix it up, we're going to let them. And so I see both sides of that. It isn't an easy fix, to say the least. But I don't know about you, but I'm not for communal living.
When I was still in Chicago, it was somebody that I worked with. He bought a condo.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the homeowner association, the condo. And what he didn't realize, somebody came in and they tried to get a percentage of the owners of the condos
to sign
off to sell it.
Right.
Because somebody wanted to buy it and change it into a different type of house.
Right, exactly. And in some states, that's legal.
If enough people voted for it, he was going to get thrown out.
Correct.
And it's not something you would expect. You know what? I'm a little older. I thought maybe at one point my wife and I would just move into a condo. I didn't realize all the extra clauses that come along with that.
Oh, yeah.
You're not aware of.
That's absolutely right. You read the CC&Rs and your eyes will cross. And, and you can be liable for assessments out the yin-yang. But when Champlain Towers, that's the Surfside building, when that first completed, they didn't meet the building code. And so now the question is, and I'm sure they'll go back and see this, how exactly did they get away with it? Because they discovered that the code wasn't met then. So my feeling is, and exactly how did that get certified for occupancy? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. So, yeah. Not nice to have your own piece of ground like you do in Texas.
Well, no, I live in an apartment now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then you can always move. You don't own it. That's nice.
At least if something breaks,
they'll fix it.
Yes.
Or like I say, you'll move. It'll be one of two ways. Yeah.
I had two houses in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, it was all on me.
Of course.
The washer, the dryer, the sump pump, the furnace, the air conditioner.
Of course. Well, and the worst part with so many developments forcing you into these HOAs, these homeowner organizations, you really don't own your own place.
There's a guy that I worked with for years in Chicago. In the area he lives in with the HOA.
Uh-huh.
They said they were going to fine him because they saw too much white clover in his grass.
Yeah, I believe it. Oh, no, the stories are endless. No. Stories are absolutely endless.
It's ridiculous.
Many states will not let developers build without creating HOAs. As far as I'm concerned, I'll live in a tent before I'll live in an HOA.
Oh, that's crazy.
It is. All right. Well, it's good to hear from you. Sound good, and you're surviving.
No, you sound good, too. I hope you and John are doing really well and happy.
All right. Well, we will hear from you soon. Stay cool and stay dry.
No. Well, it's humid, but yes. I'm all happy. I love Texas.
Excellent.
Take care, Raleigh.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll pick it up right after this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Eduardo's Request, Street Player. Yep, Columbia issued it as a 45 in 1979, and of course that's Chicago. They were not the original artists. Rufus Chaka Khan the year before, so there. Dean in Freeport, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, what's
this
up?
This morning, I guess I want to say.
Well, if I'd stop eating fast food, I'd probably be doing better, but right now I'm paying for it. So, but I deserve it. So, what's up?
I understand totally. Hey, did you hear the good news about Beefaroo?
Well, which location?
Rockford. They are. It was on the WIFR webpage that the owners of not Ben and Jerry's, but Tom and Jerry's, I think it is gonna take over all them stores.
Oh, good.
Over in Rockford.
Okay, so, good. So hopefully that'll be Love's Park, the one that's kind of a 50s theme.
Yep.
So,
exactly.
Tom and Jerry's King of the Gyros.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good.
So, now, I was wondering offhand if anybody had called in. There was an article yesterday by Neil Steinberg in the Chicago Sun-Times about the first martyr of AM radio. If you had heard anything about that story, it was about a young man that was an engineer 100 years ago for WOK.
Okay.
And
I know about that. So that's Lester Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got electrocuted.
Yes, and Neil happened to be out roaming around in the cemetery. I don't know why. Maybe he was looking, but he has a picture of his tombstone where it says a martyr to radio, which gave his service at station WOK. He was only 19 years old. I guess a fuse had blown during some Chicago show that they used to do on the south side from a hotel, and he went back and tried to hook it up, and he stood up, and next thing he fell over and he was dead.
Yeah.
And I guess that was in a publication too, a Radio Digest, but I just thought I'd find the story kind of.
Well, it is, because it happened during a remote. And if you look at the gravesite, my favorite part of that is when they're saying WOK, they put a period after each one, like it stood for something. W period O period K period. Yeah,
I see that. Never noticed on that. But, the main gist of the article was, you know, fearing AI and how people 100 years ago feared AM radio, you know, because it used to have to go hook it into those big batteries, and that were full of acid and whole nine yards there, and how dangerous it was. So, but I didn't know if you knew if there was any more martyrs after him or if he definitely was the only.
I mean, people who were using bathtubs to cool transmitters, you can bet there were problems all the way around. But, you know, it's an interesting premise, but I'm not sure it's entirely valid. I absolutely agree that new technology is always feared. No doubt about that. People don't like change, and they certainly don't like the unknown. No. But there is also the case where when technology is leading wisdom by a great degree, such as things like the development of not only AI, but just the ability to save everything to computer, and so you have endless records and dossiers on everybody, how wise is that? So we don't know that answer yet. And data centers required for the cooling of AI. Now, right now, AI is 100% deductive logic. People who think that it's inductive logic logic do not understand logic, because it is not. It is all a form of deductive logic, whether it's associative or what have you. None of it is induced. It may look like it, but all of AI is patterned after garbage in, garbage out. So we have yet to see HAL 9000 come onto the landscape. Computers are not thinking independently. They just have very sophisticated forms of deductive reasoning. Now, that to me is not scary in and of itself. However, the misinformation is. You can use the popular ones like the Google system, and you can ask it the same question on different days and come up with completely different answers, including footnotes. So, you know, just be careful.
Yeah, you know, it was odd today. Earlier, I called Enterprise Rent-A-Car, which I am a customer every now and then. And the recording on there, the first time that I had heard it, they said that, you know, just to let you know, your voice may be used by AI for blah, 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 blah,
right.
And I said, well, that's odd. You know, Enterprise has never done that before. But
well, training purposes. First time, so AI can learn things. And that's fine. But, you know, unfortunately, all of the telephone voice menus, they don't work very well in terms of in reality, because I pity the poor customer service rep who gets a live person after they've been through 20 minutes of these menus. They're just ready to eat you, whoever you are. You know, and it's just, you know, some of it's counterproductive. Now, I realize with a lot of the phone systems, the operators no longer work at a call center. They work from home. And so that's the reason you don't reach them directly and why they'll have to call you back and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it's routing, like when you're put on hold and you get this weird music for 3 minutes or all that, it's being routed around because they're not in a call center sitting there waiting for your call. And so, you know, when they're sold this bill of goods, they're told things like, statistically, you can avoid 75% of the interaction with a live operator, therefore reducing your price by, you know, all that stuff. The reality is that most of us individuals, we're wired for that human connection. And so we don't like it when all we get is a continuous loop of AI. So I think when we talk about everybody being on their last nerve, this is part of it. The transition toward digital is certainly not an easy one for society.
Yes, you're so right. I'm thinking that you know, we had a call center here in Freeport and a call center up in Monroe where I was earlier, and I saw our Montgomery Ward sign again today. I thought of you, but
good.
But yeah, they did close a couple call centers around here, and you know, and especially with us, I'm speaking for myself, with us senior citizens, you know, usually if I'm on the phone and it goes to that, I try just pushing zero first to see if I can negate.
Right.
All that.
Exactly. Or say agent. Yeah, I know. It's you know, I miss the days. I remember years ago I moved. It was twice in 1 year. And when I called Diamond Shamrock, the gas company in Texas, where I had a credit card, the woman who answered the phone said, "Oh, I remember you. Didn't you move about 6 months ago?" Well, that could never happen again. You know.
Right. So, exactly. That probably made you feel good.
Absolutely. You know, and you would have that one-on-one with people.
Yeah.
And that human connection. And I realize younger people today, they don't talk, and you see that. That's why that's why they have unlimited talk on all these plans, and then you read how much the data is going to cost you, and it's a little different. But, you know, so young people, okay, they don't want to talk. Most of us who are longer of tooth want that human connection.
Yeah.
So, you know, 100 years from now, it'll all shake out. But for the generation that we are going through it, it's not an easy transition, and people are operating on their last nerve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's I live out here in a 55 and over community, you know, we used to, a couple of years ago now, we used to have a little neighborhood block party, but back in the day, in Freeport out here as a kid, you know, everybody used to have neighborhood block parties and you knew everybody on the block and
of course
had a picnic, you know, but all that is gone, you know. I mean, we see each other maybe at the county fair or something, but community.
Absolutely. And this change, this has started really with the Industrial Revolution. We're going back to the 1800s for the first vestiges of it. And then, of course, transportation and all of that. But where we are now, this is the biggest change to society since the invention of the wheel. You know, that changed cave days like nothing else. Well, digital technology is going to change us in ways that thousands of years of civilization has not experienced this. So anybody who thinks that this is not going to be a rocky road just isn't looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. Now I got a copy of the Monroe Times I picked up today, and I see that they had a big city council meeting up there on the front page, and it says data center, a big no. They got a full house at the city council meeting, but I haven't read the article.
Well, I'll tell you the big problem with data centers is the infrastructure usually can't handle it, and so the taxes of the citizens go up. It's not about what they're doing in those data centers, although it should be, but it's not. It's all about how much water it takes and how much electricity it takes and who's going to have to pay to build that infrastructure.
Right, right, and it should be put on the company.
Of course it should. Of course it should. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, but
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be 100%. It should be more than that.
Yeah.
They should be responsible for building up all of the infrastructure in exchange for that if you want to have it there. And, you know, and that's not even getting into what they're doing in there. Years ago when I lived in the Salt Lake City area in Draper, that's where they put in the big government surveillance place. And I thought, perfect, nobody will question a thing. And sure enough, workers, if you've lived in Utah County, you know exactly what I mean. But the deal is that workers, you know, signed up en masse. And of course, they're databasing every last one of us. And no one there is even raising an eyebrow.
And it's a shame because I'm glad to see that maybe people are waking up a little bit with all this going on now. Being a former employee of the power company out here, you know, I look at the aging infrastructure out my way west. With all of the poles that were put up over 100 years ago. You know,
it's all overhead, which is crazy. And you're 100% right.
Yep.
Power is a perfect example. Our infrastructure should be hardened. We should not be at the mercy of a pulse bomb. It's alarming to me that there hasn't been one yet because it's such an easy gimme. You did wipe us out in a nanosecond. And yes, and actually, you have people on both sides of the aisle over the years who have yelled for that. When Ed Rendell was head of the Democratic National Party, after he had been governor or mayor or whatever in Pennsylvania, he said it's all about the infrastructure, and nobody listened to him. And you know, because it's easier, let's worry about today's problem, not tomorrow's. But our infrastructure is an absolute joke. And the fact that we are not wired fiber optically border to border is insane. The idea that we're leaving it to the private sector, which some people want to believe. No, do not leave it to the private sector at this point. Just get fiber everywhere. And it's critical. Yet most places don't have it. You know, when Chattanooga, when the EPB, the Electronic Power Board there, put in best broadband in America, became the gig city, first thing that happens is, you know, AT&T and Comcast and everybody else sues them. And the courts ultimately ruled that, well, you can offer broadband where you have a power footprint, but you can't move 1 inch past it. Now, that was crazy because EPB would have wired all of Tennessee. And, you know, the sad part is the companies who were filing suit, they weren't offering the service. It's not like it was a competitor. It just wasn't available. I think the area around Nickajack Lake is probably still not broadband. You know, there's a franchise for it, but no one's built it.
Yeah. You know, I know that they updated everything around here past few years. There was crews in town digging up all over everywhere, putting in new fiber line, so we could all go on 5G,
but 5G is not the answer. It needs to be fiber to the premises. And whenever these cable companies will say, we're fiber fueled, no, I don't want to know about what's going on between the node and the CO. I want to know what's coming to my house. You know, and there's absolutely no reason that there should be copper in there. That's why, you know, after the Berlin Wall fell and all that, all of the countries that had nothing, like the Polands of the world, they now have great internet because they never had anything to start with. They couldn't build it on their copper because they had no copper. So they had to start over. And I mean, I'll be on the phone sometimes with tech support and it'll be something like that in a country I can't find on a map. And I'll ask them, okay, so symmetrical broadband? Oh, yeah. At home, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I'm just so jealous. You know, because we just, you know, we here have the old infrastructure and they'll just find a way to build on it. Or the cable companies, well, yeah, we can still use coax to the house. A pox on your house for that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. It's at the, you know, it's at the point where they can't keep putting a Band-Aid
Yes. And you know, to me, this is not political, it's common sense. And unfortunately, most people don't understand what it is they should be asking for, so there's no pressure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly,
you know,
right.
People will say, oh, I have high-speed internet. Oh, really? How much is your upstream? Oh, we've got 20 megs. Well, don't tell me that's high-speed. You know, I mean, forget about it. You know, when you're symmetrical, at even if it's you know, half a gig, now I'll talk to you. But less than that, this ain't high speed broadband. It's just not.
No, no, and you know, like you said, you go out to these little small cities and little small towns. They don't have the infrastructure for any of their elderly older folks, or you know, you got to be close to the big.
Right. But you also, they don't have the infrastructure to grow. And this is something, since I have radio stations in small towns, you look at their 20-year and 30-year plans that their brilliant city councils come up with, and they don't even mention broadband. And, you know, the reality is these are places that could attract business if they had an infrastructure to do it. But as it is, big business can't consider them, and they don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. We sure do out here in Freeport, because things have changed since the 70s.
Yes.
And that industrial, you know, everything moved, all of our big manufacturers all left, you know, and so that tax base all left, which, you know,
They sold you a bill of goods when that's saying, oh, but you'll be a service economy. We'll have call centers and we'll have this. They didn't tell you that, and once telephony gets to the point that the service centers can be in Bombay, you won't have that either. So,
I just wanted to give you that good news.
Yes.
On Beefaloo.
Yes.
And we'll see where that there goes. And hope you guys stay cool. It's kind of humid back. But it is middle of summer, and I had a lady up there this evening. You know, she said, "Oh, you know, I grew up on a farm, and back when it was hot and humid, I used to say the more humid the better. I used to wear a sweatshirt all the time."
Yeah.
And then my dad grew up. He grew up on a farm here, and you know, he always during his working years, and he worked outside, he was a carpenter, he always wore a sweatshirt in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you see
crazy.
That our blood's thinner, though. We have air conditioning, and we want to keep it.
Yes. All of those poor people over in Europe.
Don't even start me. You betcha.
No, but just thought I'd tell you about that.
It's good news.
Thank you for
Thanks for calling.
History lesson. Yep, you're very, very welcome. Have a good, Wednesday.
Call again soon. Yep. I hope so.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, so there you have it. All right, am I on my soapbox? I guess I am. That is not good at all. Let's get back to fun. We'll talk about X-Rock or something, or to Chris, or to Jim, or to Brian. But Gary's up next on WGN Radio.
Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It was Cindy in Chicago who wanted to hear Doris Troy, Just One Look. That was one of those Cinderella stories. Doris Troy had been singing professionally as Doris Payne, and James Brown saw her, and she had written Just One Look and recorded it as a demo under her singing name, Doris Payne. And she took it to Sue, to Juggy Murray, and he just, I don't know. She goes to Atlantic, and Jerry Wexler, in a fit of good sense, which he didn't usually have. But anyway, Jerry heard one look at it and said, we're releasing it just the way it is. This isn't a demo. This is a hit. And he was right. And that was Doris Troy's only hit. She did write it, like I say. So when everybody else did it, from Linda Ronstadt to the Hollies, she did well, I hope, with that, as far as that goes. So yes, indeed, Artie Ripp produced that. And again, when I say produced it, 10 minutes in the studio to do a demo is really what it was. And that was her only hit on the Hot 100. And I think got to like number 10, but number 3 on the R&B chart. But it was number 1 on the Chum Hit Parade for 3 weeks in Canada. So there you have the story, and that was Cindy's request. So 888-876-5593. Oh, before I do anything else, Nick, I hope you're still awake, Nick. I realized I forgot all about you. I said I'd tell you right after the news on WWDC AM, which was 1260 AM in the district. And it had two periods of top 40. The first one was just at night. Obviously, with what we're talking about before, that DC didn't have any top 40 shows at night, PGC being a daytimer and the others having lackluster signal. Bob Raleigh, Bob Tiger Raleigh, was the guy at night from 64 to 66. And so that was it. They were still kind of, pop adult / MOR in the day. Now, then, when Avco bought them, after a while, they took it when I say Avco bought them, Avco sold them by this time. Whoever took over after Avco in 77, from 77 to 80, they did top 40 for real, as far as that goes. So it was like 7 to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday for Bob Raleigh. And then that was actually pretty good. But then it flipped summer of 77 to full-time top 40. And I guess it was about 1980 when they went into adult contemporary. And, of course, the FM, DC 101 FM, they started simulcasting that in 81 with Stern. So the rest is history. But that's what happened to WWDC. And I'm glad you asked, but sorry, I forgot to tell you. Gary and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh. Yeah, you and Nick were talking about X-Rock.
Yeah.
And I used to love that station.
In the 73 vintage, when they went top 40 for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a friend of mine, back when they were XCLO.
Right.
He was a little kid, and he told me about it. He wrote them on Record Roost.
Okay.
And that they read his card. I think they sent him something.
Yes.
And he played me he actually recorded it, and he played me the tape of it, and I think it was Frank Album and Cousin Billy and all
right,
that.
Right, James Turntable.
Rick Needle.
You're right,
yeah.
Exactly. And
Rick Needle.
Exactly. And it was, it was whatever. It could be country or pop or, hardcore,
yeah,
all that. And, they would do that. The Record Roost, that was at night on XCLO. But, when they were doing
great.
That was only 50,000 watts.
Yeah.
Because
when they became X-Rock,
150.
That was really good.
Yeah, well, then they were willing to pay for the power. They built another transmitter and really really did that. It was pretty good.
Now, I heard when they first started, I remember they had the solid rock package, and I heard that they didn't pay for it, so Pams went down there in the dark of night and repossessed it. And I don't know if that's just urban legend. I know they got a shotgun after that they used for years and years.
Yeah, so. I don't think it'd be Bill Meeks personally, but I would love to see that. It really was the old West back then, so who knows?
And but it used to crack me up because right before La Audio de Nacional came on, they would go off the air in the middle of a song. It always go off in the middle of a song about 9:55 local And then they'd come back on about 11:03 or 4. And they did that every week. And there was no, sign off or anything like that. Just gone for an hour. And that was kind of fun when they did that. But,
right. Yeah, there was a lot of interesting things on the Border Blasters from time to time. But when I drive through El Centro, and this would be like the 70s and the 80s, there was a station. I don't know the station. You know, that's one of the things you should have tried to remember. But their format was they hit De Los Estados Unidos. And what it was absolutely our backing tracks, our records, but someone was singing them in Spanish, you know, that kind of thing. And it was like everything. And I've talked about this at length, and nobody else seems to remember it, as if I'm going crazy or something, but it was there.
Yeah, I think I've heard you mention that.
Right.
I would love to have heard it.
Right, exactly. It was just great. And, you know, I always wondered, they got the backing tracks. Did they actually pay for that? And I figured the answer was no. You know, but yeah, why I didn't take a little handheld and recorded it, I don't know. I guess it never occurred to me that no one else was hearing this.
I know in the early 70s, there was a station in Mexico City on 660 that played English hits. I mean, I remember hearing... that was that song, I'm a Neanderthal Man. They love that one on there. And they played the long version of I Know I'm Losing You by Rare Earth and, you know, all this stuff. And,
right.
You know, they,
right.
They were kind of.
So.
But,
yeah, and there were stations like that, that 660, was it Radio? Hunetut or something, and then it became Radio Formula.
Well, Hooventude.
Yeah, however you say it.
I think they had some Pepper Tanner jingles.
Yeah, yeah, Hooventude. And then Radio Formula, or then Tropicalisma. And I can't believe I remember some of this stuff. Yeah. And they had rock concerts. Amandaro 1971, whatever the hell that was, but so they had jingles for Radio Juventude.
I think they were one of those Pepper Tanner packages, because it was one a lot of people used.
That'd be a trade, absolutely.
And even now there are a lot of stations in Mexico that play English language music. There's one in Monterey that has English jingles.
Is that XCG?
No, it's Classic 106.9.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think the call letters are XHPJ, I think, or what they're
called. Well, we know they're XH something if it's on FM.
Yeah, there aren't too many XEFMs.
Unless it's an AM-FM combo that's been grandfathered.
Yeah.
If it's FM, it's got to have an H. Yep.
Yeah. I think some of them have four or five letters afterwards.
The two letters together count as one, and then you can have three more,
right.
So it turns out to be five letters. Like X-Rock, X-E-R-O-K, you know, like that. You can do that.
But,
It was a
great station. I always enjoyed hearing it. And I remember when they first started, a lot of people from KNUS went down there. KNUS was having news people do air shifts for a few weeks while they replaced those people. So that was kind of interesting. But, I heard that 800 is now off the air.
Really?
True, because I know.
In Juarez?
I heard they were completely gone.
Really? Oh, no.
I know they went down to.
I knew they were off the. I knew that. Yeah, right. They went down to 50, but then they were off the air for a while. But I didn't know they didn't come back. You know, remember it was like
I read somewhere
that they just didn't come back. Oh God!
I think they just went off. I don't know, you know what happened. I think it's been a year or two.
Well, it was the first time I. Yeah, first time I heard they were dark was like during the pandemic, like 2022.
Yeah,
and
it might have been about when it was.
Well, somebody dismantled the transmitter, is what I was told at the time. Exactly why, I don't know. But I just figured that, you know, I never bothered to watch it. I figured they came back. They didn't. Wow.
What I understand, they're completely gone.
And, wow.
That was a great signal in the West.
I
don't think they went east as well as they went west.
They weren't directional. I thought originally they were, and I looked it up, and they were not directional. Which surprised me.
I remember when I visited San Diego in the mid-70s, they were really loud there.
Yeah.
They were much louder than they ever were in DFW. So.
Yeah. No, I just think that's terrain. But yeah, oh wow. So they have, well, you know, if this were U.S., they would have lost the license because you can't be dark more than 365 days. But yeah. I don't know about Mexico. Oh, well, I'll have to mourn this too. Let me put this to the list of things to miss, which is, you know, somewhat sad since I didn't even know they were gone. Yeah. But even so, yeah, well, oh man.
Last I knew, they were Hollywood Canyon, you know.
Oh man.
What they were doing for the last few years.
Oh,
maybe 15,
God.
20, 30 years. Well, apparently when X-Rock changed format, wonder.
Yeah, and I don't know. They obviously have a Mexican owner. That's the way it works, of course. And I don't know who would, you know, have an interest in that. So I don't know. I guess that's it. Well, how sad.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to make your day. You know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Thanks for that. All right. I wasn't feeling bad enough before. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Better,
no. Yes. Exactly.
Okay,
I appreciate the call. Thanks, Gary. All right, so 888-876-5593. That is sad. Yeah, but like I say, somewhat disingenuous if I'm talking about how much I miss them since I didn't know they were gone. But, you know, still emotionally I do. All right, Nick in Chicago knows more about our Champlain Towers. That was the building in Surfside. So what do you know, Mick? Nick, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I love your show. There's something about it. It's just so nice. You know, it's like just something to do for the evening, people like me and others. But anyhow, yeah, I remember that one thing that happened there. There was a guy who lived in that building.
Yeah.
That day that it came down, or later on that night, I believe it came down at night, but he was there with his fiance who lived somewhere in the area.
Yeah.
But, you know, and she would see the building just once in a while. He would, being a resident there, he would see it all the time. He got used to seeing a little crack here and a little crumbling there or something like that, you know, whatever went wrong. And she told him, said, this place is scary. There's something going wrong here, you know. I want you to stay at my place tonight because I don't like the way this place looks. And he trusted her judgment. He didn't argue with her. He said, okay, you know. So he grabbed some stuff and went over to her place. And then that night, the building came down. So I thought that was really something.
Yeah.
Now, did you mention that building had a swimming pool on top?
Well, it wasn't on top. The swimming pool was on top of the parking garage. And which was attached, of course. But the deal is it was rated for a certain amount of weight, and they kept doing other things like adding planters and stuff like that. But the guy you're talking about, I remember him. His name was Eric, and he was and his girlfriend was Fernanda. And she was the one. He lived on the 10th floor, I remember. And he was talking about how he wouldn't have lived if it wasn't for Fernanda. And so, his story was big on media. Yes.
You know what you call a woman like that? What a guy would call a woman like that?
What?
You call her a keeper.
Yes, well, absolutely. I should check that out. See whether Eric and Fernanda are still together. But
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I can see only good things coming in.
Yeah.
I want to go with her to a lottery machine.
Yeah,
says, okay,
really.
Look at these numbers and tell me which ones you like, you know.
But what's sad is what she saw was probably plain as the nose on your face if you hadn't been there in a while.
Yeah, in my case, that's very plain, but thank you.
People were talking about they'd hear roaring in the stairwells, and other people were saying they'd hear banging,
given away.
Right, but nobody thinks the building is going to collapse. We just don't think it.
Right.
Not
in America.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Not in America,
if we were in El Salvador,
Turkey, maybe, or America somewhere,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
But not Surfside. We don't think that. And so it's been quite the shocker. And
can I mention real fast about the Beach Boys, because I know there's a time frame.
Oh, sure.
I recently bought about a month ago my first DVD of a Beach Boys. They're playing, and on it is the number one famous song on this DVD is Barbara.
Their remake of that.
And I thought that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it's interesting.
They covered the Regents in 1965, and I to this day I don't know what possessed Brian Wilson to want to do that. Not that their version was bad, but they didn't outdo the Regents. So yeah. Well,
okay.
Good.
I'm thank you so much. I love your show. Like I said, there's something about it. It's just so enjoyable. I don't know how to describe it. It's like It's just relaxing and nice and comfortable to listen to your show.
Well, thank you, and call me again soon, I hope.
I'd love to keep in touch. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Bye.
All right, how nice. 888-876-5593. I'm running out of time again. I'm just too long-winded. All right, so we'll do this and get back to it in moments on WGN Radio.
While riding in my Cadillac, what to my surprise, a little Nash Rambler was following me about one-third my size. The guy must have wanted to pass me out as he kept on tooting his horn. I'll show him that a Cadillac is not a car to scorn. Beep, beep. Pushed my foot down to the floor to give the guy the shake. But the little Nash Rambler stayed right behind. He still had on his brake. He must have thought his car had more guts as he kept on tooting his horn. I'll show him that a Cadillac is not a car to scorn.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Yes, the Playmates on Roulette in 1958. And that was Mike in Elmwood Park who wanted to hear Beep Beep. Yes, the little Nash Rambler. Hey, buddy, how can I get out of second gear? All right, that's the punchline. Linda in Ridgeton Park, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Linda, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I've been in the hospital twice.
No, what's happening?
Well, I stooped down and I fell.
Oh.
And the ambulance came. They insisted that I go in and get checked out, which is worst thing in the world I did. But, yeah. I wasn't answering, are you hurt anywhere? I said, no, I feel fine.
Right.
They asked, how did you fall down? And I told them, I said, I nodded off in the chair and just fell on off the bed onto the floor.
Right.
And so anyway, my son said, maybe you should go in and check yourself out. So I went in there, and Lord, what I wore in there for. They wanted to test me for every single solitary thing, every organ in my body.
God.
Going like, what is with this? And they're not giving me any results. They give me a shot. And the doctor said, you got to have a shot for this. You're getting tested for this. You're going to MRI. You know what I said? I told them, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let me stand up. They had some type of rep on me, and they said, well, you can't walk unless we walk you.
Yeah.
When you want to go to the bathroom, when you want to go, anything.
Yep.
I said, no, I didn't think it was going to be like this. They didn't want me to be released. So I told them, hey, you can write my papers up. Now I'm out of here because I'm not going to let you stick me another time. You're not going to keep giving me IVs, not telling me my results.
Right.
And you got one doctor doing this, one doctor doing that. So when I called the doctor and they told the doctor I wanted to be released, she came to my room. This is not the very reason why I called you. I don't want to hold you a long time. But she said, you mean to tell me you're going to go against my will, what I said? I said, yes, I am. I am going home now. Write up my discharge paper. Well, I won't do that until your son comes. So my son don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
Well, until he comes, I'm not going to write those papers. That's why you can give him a call. Well, yes, call him. And she asked my son, do you want your mother to go home? He said, my mother go home when she want to go home. I'm not over her. So they told him, well, then we'll get her discharge papers ready. I was so glad to get out of there, but I'll never do that again. I tell anybody, never go in the hospital if you're a senior citizen and you don't have anybody to sit there and watch and maintain what they're doing to you, because they will guinea pig you to death. So the hospital I went to, no, never. They even changed the names of it while I was in there. I'm going like, what?
That's frightening, by the way. That's really frightening.
Yeah,
they
changed the name.
Here's the worst part. The show has just ended. So hang on, because I want to find out what your request is, and then I want you to call back tomorrow and tell us the rest of the story, because I want to know more. But don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And a big, big-time apologies to everybody. And I'm sorry I left everybody hanging. But 21 hours from now, we'll do it again, and I hope you'll join me. Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, and I promise to get back to you tomorrow if you call back, if you'll do that honor for me. I'm Raleigh James. That's a wrap. It's WGN Radio.
The best local resources combined.
Okay, you're clear. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
This is the station that keeps...
All right, now, Linda, what request did you have?
I had a couple. One request I wanted was by Ray Charles, You Don't Know Me.
Oh, I love that song.
And then I wanted one. It's all instrumental. It's called The Horse. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Cliff Nobles and Company.
Yeah, and then there was another song by Dancing Cheek to Cheek by Louis Armstrong. And I think it was, who was the lady, Sarah Vaughan, Dancing Cheek to Cheek.
Yeah, that's not the name of it, but it'll come to me and I'll find it.
That was my, I had one other request, too. I'm trying to think what it was called. Oh, I can't think of it right. Oh, yeah. Sherry. You remember this song, Sherry?
Oh, sure. The Four Seasons. Absolutely. Follow up to Big Girls Don't Cry.
Right. I liked the Sherry. And when I was in high school, and it was another song that, It's My Party, I Cry If I Want To.
Yep. Leslie Gore.
Yeah, we used to love that song when we were in high school.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna keep you. I don't know. It was the end of the show.
Yeah, it is. But I'm real concerned. Call us back tomorrow night, because I think other people wanna hear too. Hopefully, they didn't give you any shots against your will.
No, they did. They did. Swole my ankles. My ankles were swollen.
Oh God! You have patient rights. If this ever happens again, you have the right to refuse.
Right, that's what I told them that, but they wanted to act like my son was over me. I'm over my own self. I told them that my son don't call the shots for me.
That's right. You don't need a guardian. That's absolutely right.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't.
Man, that makes me furious. Well, hopefully they didn't give you vaccines.
No, they didn't, but the only thing about it was she gave me a lot of medicine that I didn't need, and it came home with me in the prescription. It was just terrible.
Well, you...
Awful experience.
Yeah, right.
I will never, ever go into a hospital and don't have anybody come check on me every day.
Yeah, I don't blame you. This is just disgraceful. And yes, you have the right as a patient to demand that they not do certain things. So, hate to hear it. All right. Well, you're sounding good, though, so obviously they didn't kill you. Thank God for that. But call tomorrow night and let us know about your eyes. Yeah, I want to know what the latest on that is.
Okay, we'll do it. Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, your son? No, she didn't need a guardian. All right, I'll go crazy on that. And we're still on the stream, of course, but not on the air. And, of course, when we don't have time to get to it, I love to play 2020 News on the stream, and here it is.
Backseat badge betrayal, plus UFO payout, and beach blowtorch bingo. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News, real stories, real fun. Law and Ordure. A woman in New York's Bronx borough says a traffic stop turned terrifying when an NYPD cop allegedly climbed into her backseat, kept her keys, and ordered her to drive while sexually abusing her and pleasuring himself. She's filed legal claims, called 911, and the department says the officer's duty status has been changed. Badge, backseat, and bad behavior. If proven, that's not policing, that's pervasive predator patrol. Alien Policy. A Florida firm is selling alien abduction insurance for just $19.95, and with Spielberg's Disclosure Day putting UFOs back in the spotlight, the timing couldn't be stranger. The company says it's already sold thousands of policies and even paid a couple of intergalactic claims. The catch? To collect, you may need proof, including an authorized alien signature. Apparently, in this galaxy, the toughest adjuster might be ET's legal department. Reefer Madness. Slime Apple Distress. A day at the beach in Florida turns into Pulp Infliction when some sickos lure a couple of dudes to smoke some weed. Hustle Beach quickly bring in their henchmen, who brandish automatic weapons and run their captives off to the Everglades to rob and torture them, cops say. That's when the bad boys bring out the blowtorch and begin burning tattoos off one of the Vics. Unclear whether they got to the pliers. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.